Oh, God. Why are there so many good books coming out? They're all here. They're all coming.
Welcome to Book Talk, Etc., a podcast bound to grow your TBR. I'm Tina.
And I'm Renee.
And this is a conversational podcast about books and more from two Midwest mood readers who are easily distracted by new releases. And this week, we are talking about female authors.
If you enjoy listening, we love for you to follow us on Apple Podcast or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And if you have a minute, please consider leaving us a review or rating on Apple Podcast or sharing us on social media. All of this truly helps other book lovers find us. Hey, Tina.
Hey, Renee. You ready to talk books or what?
I am. I've been on a really good reading, not a spree, just a really good reading place this week. Like slow but steady.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing mind-blowing, but I think that's fine every now and then. I think three enjoyable books, which I'll take that over like two mediocres and one great.
Agreed. Yeah, no, I feel you on that. I've been doing really well. I mean, truly, I'm actually a little creeped out because my last, I would say, four, maybe five books have all been at least 4.5 stars. So I'm like, am I broken in a good way? Like, am I just not discerning anymore? I'm just loving everything. But let me not question it, right? Like, I'm like, okay,
right.
just keep it moving.
Well, you're on a really good roll then.
I'm on a really good roll. I have 2 5-star reads today and one like 4.5. Well, they're up there. They're up there. Put it that way. So
I have one
that I'm saying for sure 5-star. One is like a 4. Who cares? This is not interesting to anybody. Let's get
Well, I'm curious because I really have no idea what you're reading.
Yeah. Well, you will find out shortly. But first, I will tell you about my loving lately. And I'm laughing. They're Little Sleepies. It's a brand.
Little Sleepies,
yes. So, funny backstory. Jonathan and Cassia, our baby, were at the library. And our librarian friend clocked her PJ. She's like, oh, Little Sleepies? And I didn't know that it was a noteworthy brand because I had gotten them free with a different purchase. They just sent me a pair of pajamas. So I was like, oh my God, these are so soft. But I had no idea how special they were. And they are special because of the fabric. They're made from something called bamboo viscose, which is very stretchy and very, very soft and good for sensitive skin. And I guess the founder is a mother who was kind of frustrated with the lack of sleepwear options on the market that were cute, affordable, and gentle enough for her son. And so she created this company, and the timeline's incredible. And literally, here I am. I'm like, oh my God, I found this like low-key, under-the-radar company. No, lady. Like, there's a Facebook group. There is a cult following. People love Little Sleepies. I had no idea. Parents are going crazy over these. Every week, they have a new drop with a different print. And I'm not like, I'm a light fan. Like, I'm not like into the world like I think some people are, but they're so, so wonderful. I would say if you have kids, check these out. If you know somebody that's having a baby, these would make a great gift. What I like about them is when I got them, I think I got the 6 to 12 month pair, and she was able to wear it from 4 months. She's still really into it. She's going to be able to wear it for the next several months. So, you know, kids grow out of typical clothes so fast. Because these are so stretchy, they last a really long time. Like, you can wear them for longer. Also, never fear if you do not have kids or if you have grown kids, they have adult PJs too.
Oh, so, boy.
Uh-huh. The previous PJs I brought are no longer sold, so I'm very happy to share a fun replacement. Check them out. You can also join their Facebook group. They have a 15% discount code for anybody who's in that group. I just made a purchase this morning because I was like, well, while I'm here, I think I need a few more pairs for the girls. So this is the brand Little Sleepies.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, you had me at adult. I may check that out.
So soft. And they have shorts too, and like short sleeve stuff and long sleeves. So.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. I've never heard of it. That's a good one. All right. I'm doing book related again this week, and it is a podcast. It's a podcast, but it's specifically a podcast episode. And the podcast is Books Are My People. And that it is a podcast hosted by Jennifer Calareras And in this podcast, she does solo book recommendation episodes, but she also interviews people from the book world. Now, this is where I'm bringing this specifically. What led me to this podcast was one of our patrons, Beatrice, sent me a link to her February 26th episode with Roxana Robinson, who is the author of Leaving, which I love so much. Beatrice thought I would be interested in this episode, and I was. I really enjoyed it. It's a great interview. It helped me better understand what Roxana Robinson was thinking when she set out to write Leaving. And I always love hearing what inspired an author, and I really especially loved hearing what she was thinking, what she intended, what her goals were for writing the story Leaving. If you've read it, you know. If you haven't, it's one of my favorite books so far this year. And I really enjoyed the interview. It was a little less than 30 minutes, not long. I thought Roxana Robinson was delightful. And it also will tie in with one of my books today. So that is the podcast, Books Are My People, hosted by Jennifer Calareras.
Good. I have not heard of this podcast, I don't think.
I hadn't either until, you know, Beatrice sent me the link. I so appreciate our patrons who take the time to say, hey, I thought you might be interested in this. And then they send the link right along. And I absolutely was interested in that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's definitely one I want to read. I got it yesterday from the library.
Oh.
I was doing my drive through because I just get emails and it's like, hey, your pickup's here. And, you know, I put holds on everything. So I'm like, I have no idea what I'm getting. It's a surprise to me, too. And he handed me Leaving. I'm like, oh, Brene is going to be excited.
Ooh.
So I'm definitely give that
okay.
a sample.
I'm curious about your thoughts as well as any. I mean, I've been having some really good conversations about that book.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Renee recommendations, my latest read is The One by John Mars.
Ah.
And
yes,
I brought this to one of my book clubs and I said, you know, let's read this one. I knew nothing about it other than you liked it. And a part of the enjoyment of this was not knowing what to expect. None of us knew. I don't think any of us read the synopsis. We were just like, okay, this is our book, right? I will keep things brief, but it is about a simple DNA test. And that's all that it takes to be matched with your perfect partner, somebody that you are genetically made for. That is the premise made by Matcher DNA, a company that announced that they had found pairs of genes that unites people with their soulmates. And since then, millions of people around the world have been matched. But of course, the discovery has downsides. Test results have led to the breakup of countless relationships and upended the traditional ideas of dating, romance, and love. So the story follows five very different people who receive the notification that they have been matched. And they're about to find their one true love. But happily ever after isn't guaranteed for everyone because even soulmates have secrets. And that is where I will leave it. Oh, this was so addicting. I pulled down the audio. I had it on Hoopla and I got hooked within the first 5 minutes. There was one point, and I'm not going to say it here, but I said, what? Did I hear that right? I like had to rewind. I said, excuse me? What is this man up to? So good. The chapters were short, very short. So it's so easy to get invested. And I was interested in all five of the storylines equally, which is rare for me because always somebody pulls away as a favorite and I want to get back to that person. No, here, he did a great job giving us enough. Twist here, twist there, cliffhanger here. Like I'm telling you, this was addicting. I will say it's dark. So it is darker than I think some folks might enjoy. So just know that going in. I thought it was excellent, though. And it made for a really great book club pick because there was a lot to discuss. Namely, would you sign up to be matched? Overall, I loved it. This is one of the ones I gave 5 stars. This book is The One by John Mars.
Yeah, I loved this. It was also 5 stars for me.
So good.
I was, as you were talking, I almost think this would be a good book flight with The Measure by Nikki Erlich.
Yes, totally. Yes.
Yeah.
In certain ways where it's like your fate's predetermined
like what
sort
would
of
you
by
do?
Something. And this what
whole,
would you do?
What would you do? Would you take the test to get matched? And then what happens if you are married and you're matched with somebody who's not your husband, obviously, that or your wife, then what would you do? Like, there's a whole like, yeah. So anyway, that book is filled with what would you do's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a very different book. Kind of, we could tie it in some way. But my latest read is Manifest in Action, Unlock Your Limitless Potential.
I don't know that these are tied, but just sell me. Tell me more.
Okay, I'll sell you. By Roxy Nafosi. You may remember a while ago, I brought her first book, which this is nonfiction, and her first book is called Manifest. And it is literally all about manifesting. And you know, I love the universe and you know, I'm all for doing a little manifesting here or there. I have my first vision board ever that I made in January. So I thought, you know what, let me check out her new book. And in this new book, she is providing practical techniques to expand readers' understanding of the 7 steps to manifestation. She will talk about and demonstrate how to harness your potential and confidently step into your power. Each chapter is filled with simple and inspiring exercises designed to cultivate self-awareness, reflection, and growth, and empowers readers to manifest the change they want to see in their lives. And I know that sounds very woo-woo, but she really, really makes it simple and accessible and very encouraging. And really, truly, I don't think anyone is out anything by trying a little manifesting here and there. Like any, you know, it doesn't really take a lot of time. She'll walk you through the steps. It's very easy. I think the audio is less than 3 hours. It is not complicated and it's encouraging. I like everything about it. I think it's very much a book with her first book. And if you're someone who like me really has a background in manifestation, as far as I've read a lot about it, I practice it and all of that, a lot of this will not be new information to you. But if this is something that you are thinking about, like, I want to know a little bit more about what this manifestation is all about, you can absolutely just pick up this book and get started and go with it. You don't have to read Manifest, the regular one, first, but they go together really well. So I enjoyed it. And I really like Roxy on audio. She narrates herself. She's a very interesting person, great narration, easy to follow. I like it. Very personable. So I highly recommend it. I think it's fun. It's actually one that I bought her first book and I have it on my shelf to refer to. And I'll probably buy this one too. I think it would be a nice like book pairing to sit right beside Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert on my bookshelf. I think that those, like, I like sitting books next to each other that have like good conversations with each other. So this one is Manifest in Action, Unlock Your Limitless Potential by Roxy Nafosi.
I love that idea of books sitting next to each other. Like, who are
the
book neighbors?
Do you do that? Do you?
No,
I like
please. It's not behind me. It's fucking chaos.
Not on fiction.
I wish.
I don't really do it on fiction,
yeah.
But I like my nonfictions.
Yeah.
If they have any similar themes at all and they're similar in height, I like them to sit beside each other on the shelf.
No, I think that makes sense given how your books are set up, right? Like, you know, I totally see that. But I just, like, there's something very charming about the idea of the little books, like, sitting next to each other, like, having little conversations. No, I like that. That is a good one.
They go together. I know. Yes. Because I like the fact of, I like to think about Big Magic in terms of manifesting.
Mm-hmm. No, and I love Big Magic.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I thought that was really good. All right. Well, today we are going to chat a bit about female authors, but specifically for Book Talk, it's Women's History Month, and we are celebrating female authors by sharing just some of our favorite female authored debut books. That makes sense. Because I was looking at, like, I was trying to figure out what I was going to add on my list, and there are so many debuts that I love. I love debut novels. I know you do too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's especially exciting when you discover a new author and then you're like, wow, I was here from the ground floor. Like I was here from the beginning. That doesn't always happen for me. It happened for some of the ones here. So we're going to each list five. My first one is one that I actually just discovered this year. It's been on my list forever. It's Homegoing by Yaa Jessie. And you know this, I shared it recently, but it's about two half-sisters and the lives of them and their ancestors take completely divergent paths due to slavery. This is one of the books that I would not know it was a debut. I would not believe it if you told me unless like the evidence was there. Those are my favorite debuts. When you walk away wondering, how could this possibly be there first? And this is definitely one of those.
Okay. Yeah. That was very recent for you. So good discovery. I do have many on my list, and I didn't realize how many debuts I have read over the last few years. One of my favorites is Mother in the Dark by Kayla Mayori. And this one was, gosh, I think I brought it to the show last year. It is it's a mother-daughter book, yep. Very complicated relationship. Also, there's sisters involved. And this one was just so good. It's very compelling. And I do think, yeah, for complicated family relationships, especially between mothers and daughters and sisters, then this one would be a good one. So that's Mother in the Dark by Kayla Mayori.
Yes, I remember that cover. Mm-hmm. I can picture because it's green, yeah. And you don't often get green books. So right. Anytime I'm like, oh, a green book. Another favorite of mine is The Girl with the Louding Voice by Abby DeRay. And this one came out in 2020, right before the pandemic, because I remember. And it's about a teenage girl growing up in a rural Nigerian village who longs to get an education so that she can find her Louding voice and speak for herself. I'm really good. And I might have news about her next one later on.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, my next favorite debut, which is for sure a favorite. This might be on your list, Tina. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, Rootless.
No, I left it off. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I tried to avoid ones that I knew we both read and loved.
Okay. Crystal Zara Appiah. Mm-hmm. And this also came to mind again because some of our patrons have been reading this recently and have mentioned how much they love it, mm-hmm. which then prompted me to say, I think in our Discord, like, yes, this is, I still believe, so underrated. And so, so good. This was about the mother. Well, actually, the husband discovers one day when he comes home with his child that the mother is gone. Like, she up and left. And basically, why? The story is very much a what happened, what went wrong, what will happen. And yeah, I mean, you can't say that much about it, but it's really riveting and also shocking. Mm-hmm. I know. I was mm-hmm. so shocked, and you and I had her on for a bonus episode, and it was so great to ask mm-hmm. to be able to ask her, okay, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? And we need. Mm-hmm. It was so fun. So that was Rootless by Crystal Zara Appiah.
Yes, good one. I think these books might be friends in a way. It's Luster by Raven Leilani. Did you read this?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I don't know that you'd like it, but.
Okay.
I don't know why I asked if you read it. So Luster is a messy story about a girl in her 20s who gets into an entanglement with an older man who's in an open marriage. And I only say that I think these could sort of be friends because, one, we were talking about it just a minute ago, but also the main character in her 20s, boy, I walked away thinking, I am so glad I'm no longer in my early 20s. Mm. Like, and I could just see elements. Both of the main characters are very strong women and very, like, you know, folks that are girls that are women that are coming into their own. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think they'd be friends.
Okay. All right. I can picture that cover. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have another one, and it is a thriller. Also, I really believe very under the radar, and it's called What Beauty There Is by Corey Anderson. Mm. And I brought this to the show in the winter, not this winter, but I believe last year. This is a thriller, and it is such a great young adult thriller. It is YA, but it doesn't read YA. It's not angsty. It is a thriller. And it is about a boy, like a teenage boy who comes home, finds something very tragic involving one of his parents, and then sets out to try to rescue a sibling. And that is a very mm-hmm. simplified way of talking about this thriller. I binged it. I loved it. And I have been anxiously waiting for this author to write another book. I think I'm following her on Fantastic Fiction. I mean, mm-hmm. I just like you, every now and then you have that debut where you just are waiting and like checking. And mm-hmm. this is one. It's really, really good. So consider this a reminder if you're in the mood for a thriller, especially if you're in the mood, you know, for a winter type of setting still. This one would be great. It's What Beauty There Is by Corey Anderson.
Good. Speaking of books that are perfect for folks that are still experiencing snow and winter, it's one of my all-time favorite books, Migrations by Charlotte McConaghy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I did not realize this was her debut. It just hit me. And this is an author that I got in on the ground floor with. So I read her Migrations. I read Once There Were Wolves. Now I'm anxiously awaiting her next book. Of course, this is about a woman who sets off to follow the final migration of Arctic terns. So if you're also one that's been, if you're following along with my ocean obsession and boats obsession, this would fall in line with that as well.
Okay. All right. I have another one that, I don't know, maybe my theme is under the radar. Maybe I feel like I'm picking some under the radars today to highlight, but I want to go with Finding Mrs. Ford by Deborah Goodrich mm-hmm. Royce. I thought this was excellent. It was 5 stars for me. If you are a mystery lover, this could be for you. And this very much is a, you can't say too much about it, but it is about a woman who is living a fairly upscale life, opens her door one day and finds the FBI at her doorstep saying, "Are you so-and-so?" And she was like not giving a straight answer. And then they proceeded to say that they needed to talk to her about events from her past. I'm going to leave that there. There is quite a bit going on in this story. I do think if you like cons and schemes, that this mm-hmm. could be a good possibility. Or if you just really like mysteries with more than one mystery happening, then this would be good. It's Finding Mrs. Ford by Deborah Goodrich Royce.
Okay. And my theme would be books that have still stuck with me, because most of these I've read mm-hmm. a bit ago. I would say almost all of them are 5 stars. My last one is Sometimes I Lie by Alice Feeney. And this is about a woman who gets into an accident but only remembers part of what happens. By far my favorite Alice Feeney. And I feel like I was chasing that high from her debut ever since, but really liked that one. That's Sometimes I Lie, Alice Feeney.
Okay. I have a few that I think I need to make sure I mention. Take It Back by Kia Abdullah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a great debut. There's a legal aspect to that. It's about a girl who is sexually assaulted and is trying to get justice for that. The accused, they're boys from wealthy families. So
yeah, that one's really good.
Right. Quite a lot going on with this story. Also, Kia Abdullah is so good with twists that you just have no idea what she's going to throw your way. So that was such a great debut. It's Take It Back by Kia Abdullah.
Yes. Well, good. And if you all have any favorite debuts, I would love, I mean, I'm never yes. not interested in someone's excellent debut. Mm-hmm. Another thing we were thinking of bringing were debuts that are coming out this year, but like we'll probably, you know, maybe do that down the line, because I definitely, again, don't feel like we're just scratching the surface of debuts and why they're so incredible. I actually did bring one today, one debut. Both of my books are written by females, but this one's the debut. It's I Keep My Exoskeletons to Myself by Marissa Crane.
Oh, I've never heard of this.
Yes, I'm so under the radar. Look at me. See, I can branch out.
Wow, okay.
So this actually, I found this because I was trolling online for books to read for this episode, and I wanted a debut. And this one was nominated for the Goodreads Best Debut of 2023, but it came in last place, but it was still nominated, okay? It was still on the list. And so once you hear the synopsis, you'll know why I picked it. It is set in a United States not so unlike our own. The Department of Balance has adopted a radical new form of law enforcement. Rather than incarceration, wrongdoers are given a second, and sometimes third, fourth, and fifth, shadow, as a reminder of their crime and a warning to those they encounter. Within the department, corruption and prejudice run rampant, giving rise to an underclass of so-called shadesters who are disenfranchised, publicly shamed, and deprived of civil rights protections. So it follows Chris, who is a shadester. She is a new mother to a baby born with a second shadow of her own. So the baby comes out with a second shadow, and that's a very big deal. Chris is grieving the loss of her wife and thoroughly unprepared for the reality of raising the child alone. And she sort of is on the edge of collapse for most of the book. She drinks a bit. She's feeling a lot of self-loathing. And most of all, she just does not feel like she is the one who should have been the one to raise this child. Yet, as the kid grows, Chris finds her footing, and we get to see the kid grow kind of, I think, into high school, if not eighth grade or early high school. And she is just somebody with a very big spark. This book's very powerful. I was, again, looking for debuts to read, and what caught me was a motherhood story, but also sort of in this dystopian world. I love that. And I also saw that somebody had written in their Goodreads reviews that they have never highlighted so much in a book. And I was like, great, say less. I hopped over to my favorite app, Pango Books, and grabbed a copy, had it shipped because I wanted to highlight too. And that reviewer was absolutely correct. So many good passages. I do want to say it's very character driven. So although it kind of sounds like it could be a thriller, it's not. It's much more character driven. It almost reads like a Black Mirror episode when the realities in the book are extreme, but not that far off from how it is for so many in our world. I think I would have liked to know more about the shadows and how they created this and how they worked, but you have to go into this book accepting that this is their reality, and that's kind of the premise that you're starting from. Chris is a flawed character, but I really felt for her. I felt for her in her quest to cope with her grief. While raising this baby, I loved the writing, and I thought the writing was so strong. I'll say kind of the middle, early ending sort of meandered for me. I was like, okay, what's going on here? I still think this is very much well worth the read, particularly if you like books with found family, books that explore the power of queer relationships, or if you like sad stories, this is very melancholy. I recommend it. I really enjoyed it. I will definitely seek this author out next. It's I Keep My Exoskeletons to Myself by Marissa Crane. And you also find out why it's titled that, because I know it's kind of strange, but you figure it out. She tells you.
Oh, okay. All right. Good review. Thanks. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gosh. All right. I am going to start with a thriller, also not a debut by far, although I have read this author's debut and every single other book she has written. It is Still See You Everywhere by Lisa Gardner. Mm-hmm. And this is her book 3 in the Frankie Elkin series. So Frankie is a missing persons investigator. And each of the books that involve Frankie are new cases. So I absolutely think you could jump in with this book. It's really, truly a brand new case. And because Frankie is a nomad, which is really genius by Lisa Gardner, you don't know that much about Frankie mm-hmm. from book to book, which is brilliant. So in this story, Frankie has been offered the case to locate the long-lost sister of a female serial killer facing execution in 3 weeks' time. So we have the case of Kaylee Pearson. And Kaylee is the serial killer. She had confessed from the very, very beginning, waived all appeals, and she had called herself, quote, death. But most people called her the devil. And despite the media's chronicling of her tragic circumstances, that being a childhood spent with a very violent father, no one could find sympathy for the beautiful butcher. That's what the media had called her. So she pled guilty to killing 18 men. She's behind bars. She has her lawyer send a letter to Frankie saying, "Want to meet you? Could you help me find my younger sister?" Okay. So Frankie meets with her, doesn't like her, but because Frankie is That's what Frankie does. Frankie works for the missing. And so 12 years previously, this serial killer had a five-year-old sister named Leilani, and she went missing in Hawaii. So Frankie decides to take the case. She heads to Hawaii, and the main suspect in this maybe kidnapping of five-year-old Leilani is Kaylee Pearson, the serial killer's ex-boyfriend, who is a tech mogul billionaire. So that really makes the story much more interesting. And there's a new project that this tech guy is starting and building on one of the islands on Hawaii, and that's where she heads. So it's a climate sort of project. So she goes there and things take off from there. So not only is this a missing person story, but this is also a, it's also a nice character-driven story because we do get to know Frankie a little bit more. But what Lisa Gardner does really well, she brings in the supporting characters and she makes you, the reader, invested in them. So we get to meet the other people who are also working at this future resort in Hawaii. And they're a great group of people, but also there's a few suspects in the mix. And when the tech mogul shows up eventually, we get to meet him and what's happening and where is Leilani and is she being held somewhere against her will? There's quite a lot going on, but you can absolutely be sure that Lisa Gardner knows what she's doing. She's excellent with plotting. She gives you just enough information to follow the story, play along, and yet still be surprised. I really, really like this. And the what I like about this series is I will always keep reading it for Frankie and because I'm curious about whatever missing person case she's going to be working on. This wasn't my favorite book of the three so far, but that's okay. I felt like it dragged in several places. There was a little bit of time where I was really, truly aware of the fact that there was a certain potential agenda being really like talked about, like, mm-hmm. and involving climate, which is that's fine, but when it starts to feel like a little bit of a lecture, then you know, like using characters to kind of get on a soapbox, mm-hmm. Then I start it loses me a little bit in the story. So that would be my biggest criticism of this. But overall, I enjoyed it. I did listen to this, and the audio was great. Hilary Huber narrates, and I don't think you can go wrong with her. So this one is Still See You Everywhere by Lisa Gardner.
Good. I still have yet to read that author.
Oh gosh, I don't even know where to tell you to start. She is the only, I've mentioned that before, she is the only author that I have read every single one of her books, which I've lost count. I don't even know how many she's written, but I've read all of them.
I love that. Yeah. Well, you've got to now. Now, truly, I think part of the reason I've not read her is I know that about you and her. So I just stay away from them. I'm like, I know this is one of Renee's.
Well, but you could jump into... So, like she has so many in her backlist that mm-hmm. I think you would like.
Okay. Well, yeah. Fair enough. All right. Mine is also a thriller. It is Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera. And this is not her debut. She has published quite a bit in the YA space, but this is her first adult debut. Talk about entertainment. I had such a fun time with this. If you read this, you must do the audio. I liked it in print, but loved it in audio because there's a podcast element to it, and it's very well produced. It reminded me of the audio performance of Lisa Jewell's None of This Is True, which is a big compliment because both were so well done. So it's about Lucy, who is found wandering the streets of her hometown covered in her best friend Savvy's blood. And everybody thinks she does it, and she does not have a memory of that evening. Lucy and Savvy were the golden girls of their small Texas town, pretty smart and enviable and kind of loved by all. And it's been years since that horrible night, a night that Lucy, again, cannot remember anything about. She has since moved to LA and started a new life. but her grandma, who is one of the best side characters I've read in a while, she's hilarious, is turning 80-something. And she's like, I'm having a party. You need to come home. And so she does for the first time in 5 years. And it just so happens to coincide with the phenomenally huge hit true crime podcast, Listen for the Lie. And wouldn't you know it, the too good-looking host, Ben Owens, is deciding to investigate Savvy's murder, and he's in town. And Lucy comes back home and is forced to sort of face the people that think she's a murderer. And you figure out, again, truly, she does not remember exactly what happened. I will leave it there. I thought this was very entertaining. I will say it's dark, though. Quite a bit of violence, so know that going in. If you're a sensitive reader, don't probably do this one. But I loved it. I loved Lucy. She's snarky and blunt and made for a very interesting and flawed main character. And she doesn't get, we know in the very beginning, she's not charged with the crime, but she was put through a trial by media. And the way she was portrayed in the book reminded me a lot of how the media portrayed Amanda Knox when everything was happening to her. If you remember that, her roommate got murdered in Italy, and she, Amanda Knox, is this beautiful young woman who's not acting in the way that people expect her to act. And so they're like, well, she's obviously guilty. Look at her face, right? Lucy's sort of that similar character. I had a ton of theories throughout the reading experience, but I wasn't quite able to figure out what was going on until the end. Ben is your stereotypical male podcaster, but the author sort of knows that. You're in on it a bit, and she sort of pokes fun at the hero, savior, true crime podcast trope. And I have to say, I'm still interested in books with podcasts as a plot point. I am. Sue me. I know people are getting sick of it, but I am not. I thought this was fun. I would say I would love to discuss the ending. If anyone has read it, I'm happy to chat with you because I have thoughts. But I still expect that this will wind up in my top thrillers of the year. I very much had a good time with it. It is Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera.
Okay, good. I love a good grandma character.
Oh, my God. The grandma was fabulous. Fabulous lady. Oh, my God. Really funny.
Oh gosh.
It's also Southern. It's set in Texas. And I'm wondering if my friends who are from Texas, if they found it to be too stereotypical or if it's accurate. I would like to know because I don't have any relation to that kind of area.
Okay, got it. Okay. Well, my next book is the one I mentioned. There's a tie-in with my loving lately because I went with a backlist for my next book, and it's called Sweetwater by Roxana Robinson. Yes.
Smart.
So I actually read it with Beatrice. So we've just kind of, I guess you would say, been on a Roxana Robinson kick after leaving, and then Sweetwater. So this is about Isabel Green and her marriage to Paul Simons. And she ends up marrying Paul after the death of her first husband. And this new marriage marks her reconnection to life, a venture she's determined will succeed. But this proves to be harder than she anticipated because there are challenges that really, truly happen from the get-go. And they're kind of more complicated than she initially thought. So right when they get married, they end up heading up to his family's lodge for their annual summer visit. And Isabel finds herself entering into a set of very complicated family dynamics. She struggles to understand her new husband and his elderly, difficult parents, as well as his brother, Whit, whose relationship with Paul seems oddly fraught. And then this second marriage of hers begins to cast into sharp relief the troubling echoes of her first marriage. So we are going to get a little bit of bits and pieces about what happened in that first marriage. Roxana Robinson gives us just enough information to be very curious about what happened to Isabel's first husband. And really, this is another story about a marriage, about a relationship, and about complicated family dynamics, because Isabel she's also a professional woman. She has a very passionate, I guess, she is a very passionate advocate for her environmental job. And so the fact that she goes to this lodge, which is his family's lodge, and it's in the mountains, there is the tensions brewing there between herself and the family over the environment, because there is an ominous drought happening at the same time that they're there, and there are forest fires that have started. So you have all that as a backdrop. And I mention all that because the way this author is able to create tension by these seemingly ordinary sort of plot points is really brilliant. She did it in Leaving, and she also does it in this earlier book. It sounds kind of boring just to give the synopsis, but I have to tell you, I was riveted the entire time again, because I'm not sure how Roxana Robinson does this. She brings you into the story. She makes you care about these people, not because they are perfect people living a perfect life, but because they are very realistic. I could not have been more frustrated with Isabel. So many messages back and forth between Beatrice and I, like, I want to reach into the story and I need, like, I'm going to yell at Isabel, why isn't she doing X, Y, and Z? Why isn't she saying whatever? And also, what happened to her first husband? There's that at play. So the structure of the story is present day, new husband, you know, dynamics with his family. We also get that in large sections, but then she will incorporate past backstory. So then we will go back to when Isabel meets her first husband, and we get the buildup of their relationship and potentially what went wrong, what were the problems, what was going on. His name was Michael. And I can tell you 100%, I was equally invested in both. And then she brilliantly weaves those two timelines together. She's just, I just love her writing. I really do. This is another one, like Leaving, that I was so invested in, could not stop reading. And also, I have very strong, complicated feelings about. So I got to say, I probably be heading into Roxana Robinson's backlist a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So this one is Sweetwater by Roxana Robinson.
I was just going to ask you if she has a large backlist.
She has a fairly good backlist. And that one was the one that kind of, I guess, rose to the surface of our choices. And if you wanted to save a book like that for the summer, because their lodge is set on a lake and it takes place in summertime, you could add that to your summer TBR.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do shelf additions. And mine is the new book by Abby DeRay, which was one of my debuts that I highlighted. The book is called And So I Roar. And it is about Tia, who accidentally overhears a whispered conversation between her mother, who is terminally ill and lying in a hospital bed in Port Harcourt, Nigeria, and her aunt, the repercussions of which will send her on a desperate quest to uncover a secret her mother has been hiding for nearly two decades. Like, we love secrets. What's going on? So back home in Lagos, a few days later, Adunni, a 14-year-old runaway, is lying awake in Tia's guest room. Having escaped from her rural village in a desperate bid to seek a better future, she's finally found refuge with Tia, who has helped her enroll in school. It's always been Adunni's dream to get an education, and she's bursting with excitement. But suddenly, there's a horrible knocking at the front gate, and it's only the beginning of a harrowing ordeal that will see Tia forced to make a terrible choice between protecting Adunni or finally learning the truth behind the secret her mother has hidden from her. And Adunni will learn that her louding voice, as she calls it, is more important than ever, as she must advocate not only for herself, but for all the young women of her home village, Ikati. And if she succeeds, she may transform Ikati into a place where girls are allowed to claim the bright futures they deserve and shout their stories to the world. If Adunni sounds familiar, that is because she is the main character in Girl with the Louding Voice. So I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. So I don't know if this is technically considered a sequel, like a book two in the series type thing, or if it's standalone. To me, it looks like it's standalone. So do with that information what you will. This one comes out later this year on August 6th. And this was And So I Roar by Abby DeRay.
Okay. All right. Well, my shelf edition is also a bit of a summertime pick. Comes out in the summertime and it feels like a summertime pick. It's The Wedding People by Allison Espach. And this is a propulsive and uncommonly wise novel about one unexpected wedding guest and the surprising people who help us start anew. This one comes out July 30th. So it is a beautiful day in Newport, Rhode Island, when Phoebe Stone arrives at the Grand Cornwall Inn wearing a green dress and gold heels. Not a bag in sight. She is alone. She's immediately mistaken by everyone in the lobby for one of the wedding people. But she's actually the only guest at the Cornwall who isn't here for the big event. Phoebe is there because she's dreamt of coming for years. She hoped to shuck oysters and take sunset sails with her husband, only now she's here without him. Meanwhile, the bride has accounted for every detail and every possible disaster the weekend might yield, except for Phoebe, which makes it that much more surprising when the women can't stop confiding in each other. So this story is billed as uproariously, absurdly funny, and devastatingly tender. The Wedding People is going to look at the winding paths we take to places we never imagined and the chance encounters it sometimes takes to reroute us. Very curious about this. I feel like this gives vibes of a wedding event that becomes like a non-wedding event. I don't know. Like something's going to go really, really wrong. So this is The Wedding People by Allison Espach.
All right. Good one. That's it for today. We thank you for spending a part of your day with us. Links to all the books mentioned can be found in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can help us by following wherever you listen and by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us get our show out to new listeners and grows our audience. And don't forget, if you would like access to exclusive bonus content and community, you can join us for $5 a month on patreon.com/booktalk, etc.
If you'd like to connect with us, email us at booktalketc@gmail.com. You can also find us at booktalketc on Instagram, Tina at tbretc, and me, Renee, at It's Book Talk. Talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember,
everything's better with books.